This is Papa Hale speaking, and you are listening to a Wrestling with Words podcast. Visit us at WrestlingWithWords.com and follow us on Twitter at WrestleWords. If you don't, you are not Papa Hale's approved. But remember to always be fired up!
Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the Wrestling with Words Audio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger and the Screen Queen Tamika. How are you guys doing today?
Woohoo!
I am fantastically blonde, but I'm good.
I think that it's only right that we kick off things with Money in the Bank, the Fallout.
Money in the Bank.
Baron Corbin and James Ellsworth / Carmella won Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and Twitter and Facebook only seem to care about Carmella. I recall hearing anybody say anything about Baron Corbin online of the people that I'm friends with and follow, because everybody was mad about Carmella. But James Ellsworth did the whole thing. But what I started thinking is, why didn't anybody think of this before? How long have they been doing ladder matches and Money in the Bank matches? Anybody else decided to have their tag team partner or their friend or their manager just climb the ladder, grab it, and hand it down to them whenever it's wrestling? Bad guys cheat. Like I said, I'm almost kind of shocked that it took this long for this to be an outcome of one of these matches.
I'm not shocked at all. I was expecting Ellsworth to interject himself some way. I just think it's funny because I want to say last year or the year before, when Maryse, you know, she's climbed the ladder before with Miz. So this should not be a big shock or surprise to anyone who watches wrestling. I don't know why we're acting like this was not a possibility at all for someone to do such a thing. I think it's just bad booking on their part that, you know, that controversy prevailed and now they want to, you know, hit the reset button and do it again, because maybe they were just like, oh, that's really not how we wanted it to end, or really we just wanted to do it again and just kind of draw interest to it. It's stupidly interesting is how I'm coming across with this thing. Nobody cares about Baron Corbin at all. I saw a sign one night that put it perfectly. Boring Corbin. I mean, he's just plain bland. The only thing I care about for Baron Corbin is that the boy gets a nice pair of pants that fit his ass, because I'm tired of looking at him, and it looks like his butt is about to just show any second with his trunks hanging down. He has no ass, so that's the only care in the world that I have about Baron Corbin. And I think that, you know, I understand they want to build him for the future as this whatever, but yeah, I think perhaps he was the wrong person to win. But this controversy with the women, because it was the first one, it was the wrong time to do it, that you should have waited until, you know, you did a second one to do kind of the swerve finish and ending. This one should have had a clean ending, a decisively clean ending, with it being the first one to be historic. So it was just kind of the wrong time to do this. I'm okay with them doing it. It was just the wrong time to do it.
Well, we now know that Carmella has been stripped of the briefcase. And next week, we're going to do it all over again.
Why not? Sure. It's all about the TV ratings.
Again, this is
TV ratings.
This is how you get some struggling, fledgling ratings up. This is how you make this women's division a little more viable. Because remember that, you know, the SmackDown women division was kind of lacking until they got this new infusion of blood, bringing over your Charlotte Flairs, and, you know, losing Bliss was big for them. So why not make this a TV match, so to speak, so that way it's more of a draw. People are going to tune in. People are going to go, oh, they're doing a women's Money in the Bank, because you're not getting the buy-in on the network that they want, and you're not getting the support for the women that they want. So this is their pushing to try to get this, you know, again, at the forefront of people's minds to continue this women's revolution and evolution, because they need to set the table for the Mae Young Classic. And if their girls are struggling and this is how they treat the women, they know that they're going to have a problem on the network with this classic if they just kind of let this injustice, so to speak, slide.
Another point I want to bring with the women is the difference between the SmackDown Live roster and the Raw roster. The women on SmackDown had the opening segment, 3 or 4 backstage segments, and another big in-ring segment, all within those 2 hours. The Raw women only got around five to seven minutes right before the main event segment on Raw. Is there a discrepancy between SmackDown Live, also known as the brand that Alexa built, or Raw, the brand that Alexa is going to save?
About that bliss, baby. All about that bliss. You don't need a whole lot of segments when you're established. Like, it's good to make memorable moments, but if you look at just the male segments, when you have an established male character, you have one, like, dominant segment that he does, and it's over, and you go on to the next thing. So they know, I think, with the Raw brand women, as you brought up Alexa, that they don't need to continually shower us with these women, that when you see them, it should be, you know, kind of to the point. With the SmackDown women, again, there's so many, and they're still struggling to build and make characters out of these women to make people connect in some way to them. Everybody is not connecting to these girls, so they have to constantly show them and showcase them so you connect. You want people to connect to Naomi. You want people to connect to, you know, Charlotte being more than just Charlotte Flair. They're trying to get people to connect to Tamina. Help them, Lord, because that's going to be a struggle. They want people to connect to Carmella, so they have to continue to show them, to build characters, to define these women. So that's why they keep showering us with segments and stage, backstage, whatever, with them and putting them in the ring and mixing them up to kind of get you to go, okay, I've picked my favorite now. Let me run with this one. So SmackDown is trying to establish characters where Raw has established characters.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that, you know, I mean, this is a pay-per-view. Technically, this is a pay-per-view week for SmackDown. So they had more stuff because they had the pay-per-view show, and they had a lot more on the TV because they're building the fallout from it, where Raw is kind of in the middle, you know? So they're still trying to establish the next, set up the next match or feud or what have you for the next big network special. So I think that's part of it. And also maybe the reason the women didn't get as much time this week is that they had a lot of stuff to do with the male wrestlers. They had a lot of other programs to start and to reignite and, you know, a return or two and those kind of things. So I think it was kind of that was the big thing. I think it's that it was a pay-per-view and they're establishing feuds and the programs and the fallouts from SmackDown, Money in the Bank. And then I think they're kind of at this holding pattern in the middle with the women of Raw. Next week, we may see a whole lot more from them.
My most favorite thing this week coming out of Money in the Bank, it is not a briefcase. It was not a ladder. It was not a championship. It was a power. The power of love. As Mike and Maria Kanellis made their official WWE debut as a couple. I've downloaded this song. I have it as an MP3. I've been playing it. I'm all about the power of love right now. I'm going to play it right now for everyone listening to enjoy.
Please.
Mike and Spread Maria. Spread the love. Mike and Maria are terrible. Please don't.
Spread the love. Spread the love, Patrick.
The power of love.
So yeah, that's about as terrible as Mike and Maria are. Like Mike Bennett's not that good. I don't know why people get so excited over him. He's just not that good. And the only reason he has half the opportunities he does is because he's with Maria.
Oh,
like that's straight shooting. He is not that good. He was not that good in Ring of Honor. If he'd stayed with Brutal Bob, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Okay? It's only because he has Maria that he's helped get opportunities that he has. Notice they don't hire Mike by himself. Okay? They don't push Mike by himself. They don't want just Mike because Mike's terrible. They want the couple because they want Maria because she's eye candy. Okay? The Kingdom was terrible. Okay? Once Adam Cole left the Kingdom, it was all downhill, baby.
No. Clearly, somebody needs the power of love in their life, because I totally, completely disagree. The power of love compels me. It is very interesting dynamic for them to have Mike and Maria. I understand the couple aspect. I understand Maria is a WWE alum. She's an old school with a new school look diva. She has this whole new personality that the WWE did not create, that they want to get a part of and cash in on. Mike Bennett is a solid little worker. I'm not saying he was like super fantastic and oh my gosh, so underrated. Solid little hand. Got you. Did he become a little bit bigger because of the Kingdom, because of his association with Maria? Absolutely he did. But that does not take away from the skill that he has, that you can put him in the ring with somebody and you could have he could have a great match with somebody. The Mike and Maria dynamic is, I think, what the WWE wants the Miz and Maurice dynamic to be. You have a wrestler and a wrestler, female and male, who, you know, can take a bump and what have you. Maria's character, how she's built this character now where she will not take a bump, that she is a lady and all this other loveliness that Mike gets to heat because of his wife. So I'm excited to see them. I'm excited that they decided that they will be Mike and Maria Kanellis. That is a very step forward, that the male took the woman's name as opposed to her being, you know, Maria Kanellis Bennett. I think it's just hilarious. JBL commented.
Nobody cares about Mike.
JBL, the JBL's deadpan sell of that did it for me. When he said he took her name, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest. Because this is a male dominated sport. This is all sports are male dominated. So for them to throw a little curve out there, just a small little something to say, hey, this woman, he took her name, it's kind of a gesture forward as the WWE's trying to be groundbreaking a little bit, where they go, hey, listen, the woman is the draw. I'll give it to you. Maria is the draw, but Mike is not bringing her down. It's just going to enhance the brand that the two of them together have built as a couple.
Danny, you are not feeling the power of love.
Never been a Mike Bennett fan.
What about a Maria fan?
Not really.
She blows in Playboy. How can you not be a fan of this girl who literally took her clothes off for her sport? I mean, that's sacrifice.
Doesn't mean she's good.
She's good looking. I mean, she's a cute look. Ish. Hey, listen. Maria's from Chicago, and of course, I'm going to back my girl up. Maria's hot. She's like one of the hottest divas ever. Just ask CM Punk, okay? Thank you.
If she was one of the hottest ever, CM Punk would have stayed with her, I think.
Punk dates hot chicks and gets rid of them. I'm sorry. He just married AJ.
Yeah.
AJ met a minimum height requirement where he felt like he had to marry her. I'm sorry.
Gracie Brooks would be hot. The hottest of CM Punk's exes.
No, the hottest
is
Daphne.
It's not even really that close.
The hottest is Daphne. I'm sorry. Daphne was hot.
I don't think they really dated. She's been married to Rich Ward for like 15 years.
Well, we trust me when I tell you. I know my competition with Punk. They dated.
Okay.
Well, okay. So, Danny, you did not like it. You did not care for it.
Nah.
Tamika, you loved it. I loved it. as one of my favorite singers.
Do you love it, or do you just love the entrance
music? I am all about the power of love. So with that said, as one of my favorite performers of all time said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Meatloaf.
Moving on, two wrestlers had big news on Monday. First, Seth Rollins goes on ESPN for his big announcement, which is that he is on the cover of WWE 2K18.
I don't care. It's a video game. It's a video game. It's the cover of the video game. Whatever happened to like putting 17 people on the cover of the video games instead of just one guy? When did they stop doing that?
They stopped doing that like about, I don't know, 10 years ago?
The last time I bought a video game system, pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Video game covers are kind of the thing. Like, the 2K series of wrestling is pretty huge and big because that person gets that WrestleMania push now. It's kind of like the Madden curse, where whoever's on the cover of Madden, they get hurt. WWE has pushed their last 2K winners right into WrestleMania, into title pictures. Not that Seth needs a video game cover for such push, but
He just needs to not break.
He needs to not break. And two, I think WWE is doing a lot of reestablishing of characters, of rebuilding the brands that they already have. The commercial for his 2K cover, it's very graphic. It's very intense as he goes through and he literally destroys the past and burns it to the ground, which is something that he used to say when he first started this whole, the architect, I'll burn it to the ground, you know, phase of who we know as Seth Rollins now, the man or whatever he's calling himself. So I watched that commercial and I was very surprised at some of the violent acts on iconic icons that they had in the commercial. The hitting of Andre the Giant statue and like literally knocking its head off. I was like, whoa, that right there. And in some circles, I would think would be kind of sacrilegious. You know, you don't disrespect Andre like that. So it wasn't a huge deal for non-gamers. And I'm a gamer and I'm excited about the game. But to be honest, I'm more excited to see if they continue to push the cover boy all the way into WrestleMania.
Like I said, he's got to not break between now and then. That's the key. Keep him away from Joe.
Wow. You're saying Joe's going to not kill you, but break you.
He's going to break him again. He's going to break him and kill him.
Good God. Break and kill
him. He broke him before and he wasn't even trying. Okay.
Now, the second announcement was made by Roman Reigns as he announced that he was the new number one contender and he would face the winner of Lesnar and Joe at SummerSlam because he is the big dog. This is his yard and he runs things.
So he just decided he's the number one contender. What matches and stuff did he win in order to become number one contender?
He doesn't have to. He's the big dog. He does whatever he wants.
Gotcha.
He goes into the main event with Samoa Joe and out of nowhere comes an ambulance. Inside of it, Braun returns. He was supposed to be out for 6 months. Well, not so fast. He's back.
We were hoping and expecting, and some people were praying that Braun would come back to grace us with his presence and to kill Roman Reigns, because that's what most
people burn the Roman Empire to the ground.
Well, I think they want to break the Roman Empire into little bitty sticks so some real big dog could play fetch. I think it's ridiculous that Roman named himself the number one contender, and his reasons were very, very lackadaisical, because I beat The Undertaker, I beat this guy, I put Braun on the shelf, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, all right, gosh, sit down and shut up.
I ain't running for office, man.
But the return of Braun brings that feud again, because clearly there is unfinished business there with Braun and Roman. That brings that feud to the forefront. It gets to stretch out a little bit. I see them kind of going back and forth with this one and, you know, fighting and brawling all over for a couple weeks before we really get between the two of them a number one contendership established. And I see Braun being that person to whoop the big dog's booty and take over Raw and be the dominant force there as the number one contender, because he was clearly on the path before his injury to be in the ring against the likes of Lesnar. So a Lesnar-Braun program, if Braun gets past, excuse me, not Braun, if Joe does not overtake Lesnar, I see on the horizon.
But now, so now officially added to Great Balls of Fire, Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns in an ambulance match.
The ambulance will be tested. Are you kidding me? Didn't we have doors ripped off before and all this other craziness? So if the ambulance stays on the ground, I might, you know,
flip. Lose.
Right. I want to see an ambulance flip this one. So, you know, flip one and then another one has to be pulled in for them to load a body in. That's my hope.
I mean, like, yeah. You can still put somebody in it as long as you can open the doors. It doesn't say the ambulance has to drive off. You just have to put the person in the ambulance and close the door for the match.
I'm excited to see Braun back. I want to see how he comes back from this injury. This is the first time we've seen him come back from an injury. So that's always a testament, because we have to remember that Braun is not a weathered wrestling professional, that, you know, he's still relatively newer in the business, and coming back off an injury is always interesting to watch the guys and girls work, because they're a little more sometimes delicate in the area that they were injured before. So, and not as, sometimes they miss a step, sometimes they lose a step. So I want to see how he reacts to this, how he comes back.
Basically, it's just going to take to be able to throw the ambulance. That's all it's going to do. He's going to be like, and then he'll flip it over. Like, that's the only way it's going to slow him down.
Now, do you guys think that realistically we're going to see Roman Reigns face most likely Lesnar at SummerSlam? Or is it going to be shenanigans to undo all that?
There's got to be
shenanigans. Well, he named himself that, but he's essentially going to get distracted with Braun. I mean, even if they do the one ambulance match, that's the blow off to the feud. Right, I don't think that's a blow-up to the feud. Because, you know, gimmick matches never are the blow-up to feuds anymore. The blow-up match happens 2 weeks later, 2 weeks beat. Whoever goes in the ambulance, you know, maybe that person will be off TV a couple weeks, be it Braun or Roman. But I think that this continues, and I think, you know, Roman then gets even more upset because Braun's derailing him from his original plan of trying to win the championship. So if they do Lesnar and, Roman, I don't think that's happening at SummerSlam. I think that's happening later.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What do you guys think will be the matchup for SummerSlam? If you had to guess right now.
Samoa Joe against Finn Balor for the championship.
What?
That's your want. That's your want. What's your realistic?
Samoa Joe's beating Lesnar. That's the realistic. And then Balor's going to win number one contendership because nobody else wants it or nobody else can stay healthy. And we're going to get that feud reignited on the main roster. Doesn't mean necessarily it's a good thing. That's just the way it's going to happen.
Obviously, okay. Danny Danger has been drinking a little bit too much Kool-Aid.
Ooh, there's Kool-Aid?
No.
Aww.
But Crystal has a Kool-Aid flavored slushie. A grape Kool-Aid flavored slushie. I think that's kind of racist.
Oh, my God. Okay, yes, I'm not going there. Yeah, so SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer, the second biggest pay-per-view behind WrestleMania for the WWE, it is going to be, I will agree with Danny on half of that, it is going to be Samoa Joe. But I think we're going to see Joe versus Strowman. If not Joe Strowman, then very much Lesnar Strowman. Because, again, Lesnar is this huge beast, and they were gunning and aiming toward Lesnar versus Braun before Braun's injury. So Braun is going to literally run through Roman on his way to the biggest party of the summer to meet up with a beast and then we'll have
the road to SummerSlam.
Yes, the sands to SummerSlam. It'll be interesting because that'll be a big, huge stage if Braun is indeed the main event along with Lesnar. That'll be, you know, a huge testament to how far he has come by, you know, whatever means he's gotten to this point at. So I don't think that anyone is really interested in seeing Roman versus Joe or a Lesnar at SummerSlam. But again, I take into consideration that WWE loves Roman and he is the guy for real with them. So it is very much possible too that we all get swerved and Lesnar and freaking Roman do it again, and we see Suplex City on the Samoan at SummerSlam. That's a lot of S's.
Yeah, I think that they're gonna hold off Lesnar and Roman for WrestleMania. So I think some type of shenanigans, Braun maybe beats Roman at the Great Balls of the Fire and takes his number one contendership to the SummerSlam. But enough about WWE. That's I for right now. Let's chat some Lucha Underground. Why don't we? The mid-season has begun, has returned, and we began with a match that went all night long. Johnny Mundo defending his championship against the Mac, where I thought I was seeing double at one point, and I'm pretty sure the Mac was too.
You were seeing double in the form of the apparently world's biggest Johnny Mundo fan and Ricky Mandel, who I swear has had his arm broken 6 times by Pentagon at this point. Like every time Pentagon needs somebody to break, they're like, send out the kid. Send out that Ricky kid. Let Pentagon break his arm again. I don't know if anybody in the back that's like in charge is, you know, very Southern good old boy, but I imagine somebody is. You know, I mean, you have to have at least one person like that. That's probably how Chavo talks, like in real life. He's just all, oh, come on, boy. Come on, go get him. Go get him, y'all. You know, like he's from Texas. I mean, come on. But yeah, no, it was, I actually enjoyed the match. You know, they did a whole lot of stuff with it. The different interferences. My favorite interference was Sexy Star being one of the band members and diving off the stage, you know, probably the band platform or whatever, like 20 feet up onto, down onto everybody. So that was, it was really fun. And then of course the big, you know, thing is it ends in a draw, but nothing ends in a draw in Dario Cueto's temple. And so he said that, you know, since both guys were pretty much done and exhausted, they would have a rematch the following week where it would go all night long again if it needed to, but it was sudden death. Whoever gets the next pinfall wins, becomes champion, and then that's it. That's the final say.
You know, it's always interesting when I watch Lucha Underground because I can honestly say I don't know what to expect. You said there's got to be somebody Southern there. I think I agree with that because there's always some kind of curve or swerve or whatever. I wasn't even upset with the whole, you know, ends in a draw thing. Because it I'm kind of programmed for that craziness with the WWE writing staff, but I just knew that they were going to do the right thing and you know, make them go again just because of how kind of crazy everything was. So the interference, like you said, just kind of outstanding. And I'm always excited now that Lucha Underground is back. It's just like, woohoo, let's go, you know. If you're not a WWE fan or you want an alternative wrestling show, this is it for you, and everybody should be tuning in, watching. If you don't have El Rey, call your cable network or your cable subscriber and get it.
Or you can just find it places, man. Y'all can just find it places. Chavo Guerrero says y'all can just go find it anywhere on the dang old internet box.
So we move on to the second week, and we get the tag team, the Trios Championship on the line. And very weird here. Drago, we thought, was in one team, but then he wasn't, and he turns on his team. So now he's one of the three champions with Vivora and Pindar.
He basically was a champion with the former trio, and then he slid into the next trio. Like, the only other time I can think of that happening, like, in the modern era of professional wrestling was when Legacy was formed. Cody Rhodes was with Bob Holly. They were the tag team champions. Ted DiBiase was going to challenge them, and he said, oh, I got a surprise partner. And his surprise partner ended up being Cody. So Cody ended up losing and winning the belt in the same match with a different partner. That's the only other time where I've seen that, where I can remember that happening in, like, modern era of wrestling history. But it was interesting. And the thing about Lucha Underground is they always add odd pieces to the stories, but you always know they're going to continue to follow up on them. Because it's all done in advance. So they know the stories. They know exactly where it's going. Where with WWE, it's a live wrestling product. You know, if a story's not well received, they'll scrap it or change it. If somebody's not getting over the way they think, they'll just scrap it and change it real quick. A new writer comes in and this writer decides, oh, I don't like this. They'll scrap it and change it. So you get a lot of unfinished stories, things that start to happen and don't. A lot of teases. Where with Lucha Underground, every single thing is going to be followed out and you know it is. So even if you may not like that one step in the story, you understand it's just a piece of it. And it's going to continue and you're going to get the resolution eventually. Where sadly with WWE, you don't always get that. Storylines just kind of pitter out and die sometimes. But Lucha Underground is fantastic about that. And it's, I mean, I tell people who aren't wrestling fans or even some that are wrestling fans that it's kind of like a drama show that's centered around professional wrestling. It's not directly a wrestling show. It's like a show about, it's like a show based around wrestling kind of. And the way that they kind of play into the fantasy elements, the hypnotism from Cobra Moon and that Drago's like the spirit of a dragon and all these kind of things. You know, Aerostar's a time traveler. Like, that only plays into all the great character work that they do.
I was going to say, yeah, it's clearly, like, almost a running movie week to week based on a wrestling show. So, yeah, it's got enough for everybody, for wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans alike, to kind of get drawn in because their character work has a actual end. They know where they want to take the characters. They know where they want to go. And it's easier to work toward that end week after week as opposed to, like Danny said, the WWE going, oh, this ain't working. Let me try. Let's change it. So it's really, really good. It's really well done. Of course, the El Rey Network and Robert Rodriguez, he kind of knows a little bit something about movies. So, you know, they know what they're doing.
Then we also got Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma, which I think those two together have been great every single time. They deliver a great match.
The Boyle Heights street fight. As we get kind of Prince Puma with a bit of a darker edge now, you know, having suffered the grave consequences and trying to come back and reach the dark places that, you know, there's like a struggle for power within his mind of people trying to control him. Ray's still there trying to say, hey, man, you know, like, I can lead you down the good path and continue doing this. And Vampiro's kind of in there poking around going, no, do the bad stuff. So he's kind of got the angel and the devil on his shoulder. You know, the king and the vampire, more vicious Puma. You know, he still does the flashy maneuvers and everything, but he seems to put a little extra oomph on everything, which is yet again adding new depth to his character. It kind of taken a little bit of a back to some of the other characters that were competing on the top level for a while. So it's good to see him kind of get a little.
And finally, Dario Cueto had a big announcement, and what he announces is the Cueto Cup. 32 people.
It's almost like the entire roster, pretty much.
And the winner of said tournament, which basically is going to go throughout the whole entire season,
Yeah, the rest of the season.
We'll get a championship match at Ultima Lucha 3's big tournament. I mean, we're not even going to try to predict the winner. I mean, of course, anybody that has access to the World Wide Web can find out right now. Not only who won the Quetta Cup, but also if they were successful in winning the Lucha Underground Championship.
I think they do a pretty strong job of keeping the spoilers hidden for LU.
Mate, no. You can go to Cage Match right now and watch all the results.
All the results for even the matches that haven't aired and everything are on there.
Yes.
Wow, okay. I thought they did a much better job of keeping stuff on the low.
Live audience, you know. You got a live audience there during the tapings.
That's true, but you don't always know what order things are going to happen in.
For a tournament where you know what the brackets look like, you can basically put together how the whole thing goes.
Yeah, and Melissa probably announced this is for the finals of the Cueto Cup, so right. They know who makes it to the finals and who wins. That's true.
Too bad, because again, it's great watching to not know. So if you don't like spoilers, yeah. You know, stay off the World Wide Webs there, digging yeah. And looking.
Well, thankfully, they're a little bit harder to find than, say, the SmackDown spoilers used to be from Tuesday to Thursday or Tuesday to Friday. You kind of couldn't turn around without figuring out inadvertently what happened on SmackDown on Tuesday. You know, you didn't even have to look very hard. Facebook could usually tell you. But the Cueto Cup, yeah, 32 people, men, women, almost the entire roster. I mean, some of the even the first round matches, I can look at them and say, okay, most of them are pretty hard to predict. A couple, you say like, okay, it's, you know, Pentagon versus Arjenis. Yeah, Arjenis isn't making it to the second round. You know, like. But most of them, you go, they could go either way depending on how they want to go. And I think they could they use this also to be able to set up the other feuds and rivalries heading into Ultima Lucha. So I think it could be a really great thing. But here's one of the big things though they did set up. Johnny Mundo, Rey Mysterio. For the Lucha Underground Championship.
Yep, that was set up on the third episode. And a pantless Johnny Mundo went to get prepared to start his training.
Yes, she said, "Did you want to put on pants first? There's no time for pants." And he just walks out in the towel, like leaves the room in the towel to go to the car and start training for Rey Mysterio. We've seen these guys fight a lot of times, you know, in the WWE, but I think this will be a different dynamic. I think Johnny Mundo is so much better than he was. You know, he's just gotten so much better physically than he ever was in WWE. You know, I mean, of course, here's the main event, a top level guy. So they're going to give him a lot more time, a lot more freedom to go out there and showcase, you know, who he is. It'll be a really fun match, but I mean that's pretty much their big two pretty much matchup that they haven't done.
It seemed like this was a build, a long time coming. I mean they've touched before, of course, like you said, we've seen them wrestle before, but there is just something about this time and this place that we're going to be able to see a definitely different Johnny Mundo versus a very mature and aged and different Rey Mysterio. Not that Rey's age is any indication, like any slowdown or anything. It's just that he's a whole different sort of Rey. Like, he's not taking as many chances. He's still doing the high flying, but it's more, I don't know, it's smarter. Mundo has just become amazing physique-wise. Just attitude was always there, but now just the skill level is off the charts. So this is one of those matches that, you know, I know it's Ultimate Lucha, what have you, but, man, this is almost a pay-per-view quality type match where, you know, I could see this main eventing at any company someplace in the world right now and being like a huge definite draw for the fans and the promotion to be able to, you know, put their hang their hats on this money match. So that's what I'm calling this. This is a money match. So it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting and I can't wait to see it.
Not only that did we get that announcement, but also the Cueto Cup began with first round matches for Group A. The Mac defeats Mala Suerte to move on. Pentagon Dark defeats Argenis to move on. Tejano defeats Famous B to move on. And Drago defeats Aerostar, so he moves on. So we have the first four matches of the tournament, the first round matches for Group A. Moving on Group A, Drago versus Pentagon Dark and the Mac versus Tejano. And we're going to continue to get those first round matches for the other groups as we go along. But the Cueto Cup, I mean, I don't know you guys, but this has been the last 365 days full of tournaments. I feel like we've had tournaments everywhere.
There are tournaments everywhere. Tournaments are like the new thing to do. And I think it's a testament that you have everyone trying to do tournaments, because in a tournament, you can kind of showcase continually those people who you want to kind of build up and be stronger. So you have them move on from round to round to round until they, you know, make it to the finals or what have you. But you also have unique matchups in tournaments. People who you would not necessarily be able to see or give a care about, like Famous B. You know, Famous B was in this tournament. I was like, really? Who cares if you follow Lucha Underground? You're like, okay, it's Famous B. But, you know, you give him a shot and a chance, and you get to watch his work because he's up against a more stronger or well-known competitor. And it kind of establishes the fact that, you know, hey, this person, while they may not be on my radar now after a tournament, you know, you go, oh, wow, you know, I remember that this happened. So tournaments being all the new rage is absolutely excellent for the guys and girls out there who get to kind of participate. It gets their names out there, and it actually gets their physical resumes to the forefront, where more eyes are able to be on them to see what they can do. So it's pretty cool. Now, I wasn't a fan of tournaments before, but I kind of went to one in person and fell in love with it. So, you know, more power to tournaments. Let's go. Keep them coming.
And back in the – I was a little, I guess, missed out on the tape trading eras. I just wasn't trading and collecting things I didn't know existed until after the past. But I would still purchase VHS tapes from indie promotions. And that was one way that I would get – you know, I would get, like, the Ted Petty Invitational, because you knew that they were going to have some of the top names from around the country – the indie names and stuff, guys you'd read about in this area, you buy these couple DVDs or these couple tapes, and you'd be able to see everybody. Now, a lot of the wrestlers travel a lot more than they did, say. There's more promotions that bring people in from further away. But yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoy tournaments. I enjoy single night structured tournaments. I think those are probably my favorite, just because you get the diversity from, you know, of like the same wrestling, several different stylistic/strategic matchups. You know, you add the fatigue and the injury from previous matchups into where the thing, when you stretch a tournament out longer, you don't necessarily always have that. But yeah, it does add importance to every single match on the show. Whereas, as Scream Queen said, you know, that some people you go, oh, okay, this guy's wrestling, I'm not going to pay attention. But now you're like, I need to pay attention because, heck, you know, either one of them could be moving on in the next round. And it's very possible that this guy I don't really care about so much maybe pulls the upset. So that's the big thing, too. It adds importance to every single match that you're watching. Even if there's not a feud going, even if there's not really, you know, anything directly between those two wrestlers or people surrounding those wrestlers, that's the importance and makes every match feel special and feel like it's must see.
Speaking of tournaments, this weekend, the three of us will be attending a one night tournament. And of course, Danny and I will be representing FOW Radio on the commentary, while Tamika will be representing the front row by screaming.
Maybe she'll get on Reddit again.
Of course, this is Mucha Lucha Worldwide, MLA 12, Border War Tournament, this Sunday, June 25th, 4:30 p.m. 12 competitors from all over the world. We have Penta El Cero Miedo, Mil Muertes, Rey Fénix, MLA Global Champion AR Fox, The Machine,
Foxy.
Cage, the MLA Heavyweight Champion, Mr. 450, Ray Horace, Mr. Athletic, Jeff Cobb, one half of the Lynch Mob, Joey Lynch, Young Sensation, Sammy Guevara, the Aztec Warrior, Alex Cruz, and David Tita. So this is a stack card right here. And the way that this show is starting, as I was told, is all 12 guys are going to be in a battle royal style match to begin, which is going to set up the first round matchups. So the first two that get eliminated will be put together, and the next two, and so on and so on.
I actually really dig that, because for a lot of the fans who may never have seen any of the wrestlers, now they kind of get a chance to see everybody, see a little bit of what they can do, maybe put a name to it before they even have their first round matchup. Maybe it adds a little bit of heat, say two guys eliminate each other. You know, they already have some heat between them going into the matchup, as opposed to it just merely being, oh, these guys are touching hands for the first time ever. And, you know, now you're like, remember when he kicked him in, you know, kicked him low in the battle royal and threw him out? Now it's time to pay. You know, now it's time to pay for his crimes. So I really like that idea, actually. That's another inventive idea from Mucha Lucha.
So the first round, single matches. Then there's going to be a semifinals, three ways. So three winners will be put together in one match, three winners in another match. The semifinals, the winner of each three-way makes it to the finals. The finals is the Border War Tournament champion. So, Tamika, this question is for you. Who is your pick for winner of the Border War Tournament?
Oh, no pressure. You know what? I've been thinking about this because I'm kind of excited for this whole tournament. I'm stuck, really, but I'm going to go with Mill. Mill's been pretty unstoppable. He's a force to be reckoned with. So I am going to go out on a limb before my cervezas and say that Mil Muertes is going to win this tournament. I'll change my mind after a couple beers, but right now it's all about Mil.
In addition to the Border War Tournament, also, we are going to get a cage match. As we saw at MLA 11, Vario Morales and Poder Nocturno's match went to no decision after Sadiko came and interfered and got involved. Well, now these three men will be facing each other in a cage for the Texas Championship. There will be a winner. No more interference. Let's put these three men in the cage and let them fight it out. One winner, one Texas champion. Tamika, once again, I'm putting it on you. Make your prediction.
I love me some Vare Morales. I really, really do. There's something about him that just, I don't know what it is, but I see him, and I've seen the brutality of these matches, and I think that he has just enough in him to push this and to get a final decision. Of course, there has to be a decision in this one, but I think that he wants it more. He wants to get at this and just, I don't know, win. So there it is. That's my decision. Again, this is without cerveza in my system. With my cerveza in my system, all bets are off. I don't know. So... there we go.
So how crazy is it that we are getting a 12-man tournament with some of the biggest names in Lucha And we're getting a cage match as well on this show. A lot of cervezas will be drank, I can reassure you.
A lot of cervezas, a lot of, oh my gosh, tacos will be eaten, and a lot
chicharrones.
Of screaming.
Chicharrones.
A lot of screaming will be done, not just by me, but by the crowd in general. These Mucha Lucha shows are some of the most fantastic crowds that I've seen live for an independent show, because they are all fully invested, and you have men, women, and children ranging in ages from like infancy up to, you know, gosh, I'm pretty sure I saw some guy who must have been 90 years old there before. I mean, it's just amazing. And not just the crowd, but the performances that I've seen. The guys and the girls, you know, when they performed, they're just, they're balls to the wall out here. So they're putting a cage up on top of the already intense action that we've had before in these previous Mucha Lucha shows. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, because I know that the energy in that building will be off the charts, and the action will be violent, bloody, furiously good, great, and, you know, throw some food and drink in there. That's a damn date night for me. Are you kidding me? It's awesome.
I mean, the fact that we get to call this card is pretty awesome to me, Danny.
It's fantastic, yeah. I'm really excited.
It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to get packed again. I can't wait to, you know, I can't wait for us to be there and just have a great time at the show. Mucha Lucha Atlantis, MLA 12, Border War Tournament. You can get tickets at MuchaLuchaTL.com. And the general admission tickets are there for adults and children. Yes, this is a family-friendly. This is a family-friendly event, okay? They will be clowns there to entertain the children.
Or scare them if they're scared of clowns.
Oh, no. The kids love the clowns. It's like the best thing for them.
It's the adults that are freaked out of clowns. The kids love the clowns.
Not only that, but Mil Muertes will be here a day early. He will be at the official meet and greet for Mucha Lucha Atlanta 12. At 6 p.m. in Doraville, Georgia. Go to Mucha Lucha Atlanta on Facebook for more information.
Yeah, the Facebook page has everything. The meet and greet's on Saturday. The show's on Sunday. If you plan on going, I advise you to get your tickets ahead of time. Last show, there were upwards of 1,300 people there. Okay? 1,300 people. Every single show, these crowds get bigger and bigger. I hate to say it, but it could be this show or the next when they have too many people for that darn building and they're turning people away. I mean, if you want to go to the show, go online, contact them, and try to get your ticket before the show. Otherwise, there is a possibility you may not be able to get in.
Not only that, but also, it's if you buy your ticket ahead of time, all you got to do is get in line and go in. If you have to buy a ticket, you have to make it in line, buy a ticket, and that would delay the process of you getting in. General admission seats are first come, first served. You don't want to be stuck in like row 11 or 12 because you waited till the last minute. Be there. High Sports will also be there taping the show as well, so make sure you check them out.
With the full merch table, baby.
Yeah, make sure you check out the High Sports Wrestling Network. As well, for only $9.99, you'll be able to check out Mucha Lucha Atlanta 11 to get ready for Border War Tournament and all of the great shows that they have. They continue to add a lot of more content, so definitely check them out. And lastly, WWN Live are holding two shows this weekend, Evolve 86 and 87. 86 is headlined by a battle of champions in a non-title match, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Matt Riddle. Also, a grudge match between Keith Lee and Ethan Page. And Timothy Thatcher is back, and he will be facing Austin Theory, and much more on that day. Then, the day after, Evolve 87. That will be Matt Riddle versus Keith Lee. for the WWN Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. will be defending the Evolve Championship against Evolve Tag Team Champion Jaka. And Trent Barreta will be in action in Evolve as he will be facing Austin Theory and many more matches as well. So definitely check those out. You can check those out on flowslam.tv. If you get the yearly subscription, it's $150. If you don't, then it's $30 a month. So definitely take advantage of that. And that is the show for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the Wrestling with Words audio network so you can get all of our episodes right on your phones, your iPods, your tablets, and everything else that holds your podcast. Please give us a rate and review, 5 stars. We love to hear your comments or how much you're enjoying the show.
6.25 stars. 6.25 stars.
And WrestlingWithWords.com is where you can find all of our podcasts as well as the great vast of different podcasts that we have on the network as well as great articles and reviews. Definitely check that out. Check them out also on Twitter at WrestleWords. Check us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. Endanger. Tamika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling and be strong in the power of love.